Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons on the Score.
This hour on the Score brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their new website, 56david.com. That's 56david.com. All right, from now until the end of the show, as we're here at Cubs Convention, we don't know who's going to be coming on. We don't know when they're going to be coming on. They will be. The Cubs are upstairs, and they're starting to file into a pre-VIP meet and greet. I was there last year, and basically what happens is they start trickling in, and then they just say hello to each other. Because for a lot of them, it's the first time that they've seen their teammates since the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some cocktails flowing before they go out, and the rest of the festivities start around 6 o'clock. Ryan Dempster's doing his event tonight. But between 4 and 6, Shep is in the room, and as the home of the Cubs, we've got a microphone wired in, and he'll just be rallying guests and putting them on.
Yeah, the right guest, hopefully, too. Kyle Hendricks is high on our priority list. There's other Cubs we'd like to talk to. I'm not going to do one just for the sake of it, and I would be tickled. I know it may not be for all of our younger listeners, but I'm not going to apologize if Hall of Famer Billy Williams were to walk by and give us 10 minutes, 15 minutes of his afternoon, because he's my guy.
Wouldn't bother me in the least.
He's the Whistler.
You brought your picture with
Billy
Williams.
I did bring that picture, yeah. You got many pictures in your Hall of Fame room when you get one in your closet full of memories of the ones where you just, everyone's looking at the camera. That one's a candid where we're just BSing
picture
around the cage. So, that might have been Danny Zetterman's finest contribution to that trip in Arizona.
He did take that photo. I was standing next to him when he took it.
Yeah.
That is a fantastic picture.
And that was the same. That might have been the same day I made him commute to Tucson with Dave Miska, our engineer.
Wow, but he did a good job there.
Yes, he did. Like I said, that was his contribution. He just didn't get in my head. When we said before we left the city that we didn't really need Mike Fontenot, we meant it.
Well,
We meant it. Third straight day. There's Mike Fontenot. Shut up about Mike Fontenot. Shut up about him. Planes in the air. We're in mid-segment. You're bugging us about Mike Fontenot again.
Do you remember the booth at Ho-Ho Cam? The old ladies could stand in the chair and go, "Where's Pat Hughes?"
They would keep sticking. Yes.
Pat Hughes.
Now I actually know him.
Boy, what a dump Ho-Ho Cam Park was.
It's so funny. I was just going to say, and everyone talks about the upgrades, right? Like, I was talking to someone earlier who was at the first Cubs convention and how everyone was just at their own folding table, and you went through the line, and it was no problem because there were only a few hundred fans there. She said it was in 1985, and now it's turned into this three-day extravaganza.
Yeah.
And everyone knows about the Wrigley renovations. From what I'm told, Ho-Ho Cam to Sloan Park. And they start. Yeah. Theo started there because he knew that the most valuable players of the Cubs were in the farm system in the minor league, so he wanted to do Arizona before he did Chicago. Ho-Ho Cam was a dump, right?
It was dreadful. It was, my high school locker room wasn't as nice, but it was bigger than the Cubs clubhouse. I'm not lying. In spring training, when there are guys wearing jersey numbers in the 60s and 70s and 80s, I mean, every digit is represented. Smaller than that, yes. The Cubs didn't build, when they built Sloan, they just didn't build a better spring training stadium. They built a campus, man.
Yeah, and everything about it was just, planned down to the T and spared no expense. And the weight room and the recovery room all connected to the clubhouse so that the injured players could still stay around the team and not be separated and all that stuff.
I effed up when Spiegel and I were out there for shows in 14. I was Theo offered to give us all a tour. Matt, of course, was smart enough to go on it, and I was dog-ass tired after a show, so I went back to the place and slept.
Really?
Yeah, I really regret not taking the tour. Hopefully that opportunity is afforded to us again. If it happens, I'm definitely going to take advantage of it. That's what getting old does. I need sleep. I need to see a weight room. All I lift is the remote.
It's like Fred Tucher, who was on earlier from Boston. He's like, I don't care if the Patriots win.
If you've seen one brand new billion-dollar facility, you've seen them all, right? I don't know what it cost them to build that out there, but you're right. I mean, spared no expense, Jurassic Park. I got the reference.
Good.
That was absolutely an outstanding decision. Everybody is so comfortable. And when you're selling tickets to spring training games, people are moving them on secondary sites, and they're getting big money for them. Nice to also have the facilities to accommodate people and give them all the luxuries of pretty much a stadium that's, you know, built for baseball in the regular season. It's not that big, obviously, but certainly the food, everything is great at that ballpark.
The market for those tickets at Sloan Park right now is insane. I saw John Greenberg from The Athletic tweet out that he was trying to bring his family to sit on the lawn, get lawn tickets to Cubs Red Sox spring training. Just happened to be the, not that he cares about seeing the Red Sox, but just happened to be the game where his family was in town that they could go. $195 for four tickets to a spring training game on the lawn.
Oh boy.
Can you
imagine? My goodness.
That is a mind-boggling number for four tickets to just
sit on the lawn. And you don't have you don't have the ability to get into to Seat Weasel if people are gone if you're on the lawn. Can you get on I don't think you can.
I think that I don't know how they do it. I assume it's a wristband. It is one walk around at Sloan Park, so you can walk from first base to center field. Like there's the tenderloin,
no security fence that precludes those commoners who have only can afford the lawn seats.
I don't know what it would be,
because
but
I remember some of the bigger food stands. They had a gigantic barbecue pit, and there was a Mexican food pit. They're out past where the main area is for people on the lawn. So I made the assumption they couldn't get to other concessions. If this is where you're sitting, we gave you two or three options, and that's what you got.
Those food trucks out there actually are pretty good. Tom Ricketts recommended to Spiegel and me the fried pork tenderloin sandwich out of a food truck. And I was like, really? Pork tenderloin out of a food truck? You know, you're a billionaire. He's like, it's delicious. I have it multiple times. I can't have it for every game because, you know, it's not the healthiest thing. He's like, but I eat it all the time.
Well, okay. Discard that bread. I mean, you know how I feel about that white starch.
You know,
just throw one of the buns to the side and don't have the dead, empty calories.
There's a war on bread in this country, and I won't stand on it.
There should be.
No.
Read the book Wheat Bellies.
Sure. It's fine.
Yeah, you're an ectomorph. What do you have to worry about,
I'm just
right?
Saying.
You don't have, not like you have a cardiac condition or anything like that.
That's going to be a problem.
Do I need to call Blue Wasabi to see if there's brown rice for your Scottsdale sushi fix?
Did you hear about that?
Yeah, I did.
That was one of the all-time high-maintenance moments. And then we just ended up going to a grocery store. That was the only place we could find brown rice sushi, was a grocery store for this guy. Ten spots.
Are you sure he called 10 spots?
I was in the room. He called 10 downtown in the loop high-end Chicago sushi spots. Mac goes, I'll spring for $150 worth of downtown sushi for the crew. We end up at Mariano's in the grocery store aisle for sushi because that was the only place we could find brown rice.
Got a little bit for a buck and a half there, didn't you?
He's, by the way, $100
worth of bucks.
$100 worth of grocery store sushi is a lot of sushi.
Yeah, it could have fed six to eight people probably. It's not like brown rice is something that isn't common in a sushi restaurant.
Evidently, Mac, it is.
I would not have guessed it was either.
That.
Did you hear a voice on the other phone, or did you just hear Shep asking and hanging up the phone?
I heard... No, that's fair, but why would he do that? What's the long con there? You were willing to buy us good sushi.
But you guys don't give a damn about brown rice.
I know, but he...
I just wonder if he had 10 pretend conversations.
Did we just consider the sashimi alternative and we could have just had really good sushi?
Could have, but just looking for quick finger foods during commercial timeouts and
sashimi.
Stuff.
Sashimi!
So I didn't really feel it.
No, Dave.
And everybody
sashimi
knows
was not considered.
Sashimi means it's just served on a little bitty fillet of tuna or salmon, and you do the condiments. It doesn't have all that unnecessary starch.
Yellowtail
tuna. Ooh, I need you like to have some hibachi. Brown rice. I hope Chuck wants to play along with a game I've got planned for this program. I haven't run it by you yet. Want it now or later? Off the air or what?
No, it's production meeting on the air.
Production meeting on the air. Swirsky Oki.
Swirsky-Oki.
Chuck Swirsky reads a lyric from a well-known song, and listeners have to punch in and tell us what the song is. And then after we get the guy up who's got the right answer, Tanny, as brilliant as he is, matches up Swirsky reading that lyric underneath the music as it fits through the beauty of editing. I'm stealing Pete McMurray's bit for Bill Curtis, but I don't care.
That's fine.
It's flattery to Pete. Someone's copied something he did.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Well, we talked about this. I want all the broadcasters in town to, I want them to read rap lyrics. Like Swirsk, Pat Hughes, just reading
Pat
rap
Hughes.
Lyrics. In their tone.
You can't stop him.
Yeah. It'd just be amazing. And then you add a game component to it, what the song is, it'd be perfect.
Pat Hughes does Project Pat. I'm a walking bank roll. You can rubber band me. You can rubber band me. People were stunned earlier when I knew rap lyrics.
I'm still stunned. It's still one of the long shot of all long shots.
Yeah, my oldest son had a little flirtation with rap, so you know, wanting to know what he was listening to, I wanted to hear some of it, and that was a song that stuck with me. I actually liked that song.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, and then the funny thing is, the next one sounded just like it.
There is that criticism.
I never knew that would be the case. And the fourth track sounded like the second and third tracks. Fifth, sixth, okay, I'm good. Just give me that one.
so you stuck with the single.
That's my rap anthem. That's I go one deep.
Okay.
It's like Shep on books.
He gave you two.
Yes, he
did. In fairness, he gave you two. Don't misrepresent the man.
You're correct. I did. He mentioned two books. Oh, he's special.
He's the best. I had I read this on ESPN today, a championship Sunday fact that I thought would actually interest you, and in some ways, it reminded me of the show in terms of the age dynamic that you and I have, right? And the opposite ends of the demo and that sort of thing. The NFC Championship game, which is the first game, will set a record for the largest age discrepancy between the two starting quarterbacks. Mm. Drew Brees is 15 years and 272 days older than Jared Goff. That record will stand for about 40 minutes, because Tom Brady,
oh goodness,
is 18 years and 45 days older than Pat Mahomes.
That's cool.
Isn't that cool?
That really is. Yeah, I didn't think about that. I mean, obviously the gap in experience is noticeable. You don't need that, but to be setting a record and then setting another one immediately afterward, record distinction, whatever you want to call it.
But like. And, I mean, who knows how much it plays out. And, obviously, you know, Goff was in the playoffs last year and then won a game this year. So he's got three playoff games. And Mahomes won a playoff game last week. So they're not completely green to the experience. They're not Brees and, obviously, Brady. But just also in terms of the passing of the torch and the health of the league and feeling good about the next generation of quarterbacks. I'm mad at myself for not having thought of that until I read it. It's pretty cool.
Youth having a go at old, huh?
Yeah,
I like it.
I liked that a lot. And I still don't have a strong feel, but if I had to bet right now, for some reason, it's just a feel, I think we're getting a rematch of 54-51. I think the Rams are pulling the upset. And the Chiefs are beating the Patriots.
I think the Chiefs are beating the Patriots. I don't know which Rams team we're going to get. If we get the one that lines up and just beats the S out of people and runs for 250 yards, they got a shot. They're not going to win in a shootout in New Orleans. I don't even know if the Saints have a shootout in them because their production has been down.
Yeah, I mean, they hung 45 on the Rams earlier in the year.
I know earlier in the year, but late in the season when they went to Carolina, the first that was the game that was 12-9. It was a Thursday nighter. I believe it was week 15. They couldn't do anything, and their offense was very productive last week in the divisional round, but they didn't put points on the board. So I'm not expecting a huge number. I don't know. Maybe the Rams' defense is as bad as it has looked from time to time this year, but I look forward to seeing what they do with those defensive linemen on the Rams, because those guys are really good. The kid they brought on board from Jacksonville, 56.
Fowler.
Yes, Dante Fowler, and everybody knows the tackles. Sue's still a monster, and Aaron Donald is a guy I want to watch as much as anybody playing this weekend. I just love watching that dude play, although sometimes when you look forward to watching a defensive lineman, you get disappointed because he does nothing. He made one tackle. and the Bears ran one solo tackle.
I know.
And I think only had one quarterback hit in the game.
Yes, that is correct. Only the one. I was thinking about that, too. So everyone, you know, talks coach and quarterback, and this weekend, with good reason, it's the top four scoring teams in the league this year. It's arguably the top four coaches in the NFL this year. You have the top two MVP candidates. You got Tom Brady and then Jared Goff. And it's unbelievable coach, quarterback, offensive dynamics all across the league.
It's the best potential Final Four we could have had. Not that we wouldn't watch if there were someone else. And, of course, locally, rooting interest.
They
prefer the Bears. But these are the best four teams. The college football semifinals, all due respect to Georgia, Notre Dame ran the table. They belong to be there. And I think this is the best. These are the best four teams in the NFL this year.
I agree. But then if you just – you don't have to dig that much deeper to just the star power. You've got two of the top – four running backs in the NFL, in Gurley and Kamara, right? Two of the top five or six receivers in the NFL, in Michael Thomas and Tyreek Hill.
Yep.
The best tight end, one or two, depending on how you go, Kelce Ertz or Ertz-Kelce, probably the best tight end in the NFL.
I'd probably slightly favor Kelce just because he's so mean and he's probably a better blocker.
Yeah, I think he's also a... Like Ertz is an awesome route runner, and he catches everything.
Right.
But Kelce is more of a dynamic...
traditional tight end.
Yes.
Yeah, more nasty.
Faster, yeah. And then...
Cleveland guys are like that.
And then, obviously, Aaron Donald. You know, so there's some defensive star power, Chris Jones, but it's just... The star power on the... And it seems obvious. They're 2-1 and 2 seeds of the best teams in the NFL, but... It does go beyond just coach and quarterback.
Something occurred to me the other day, and I didn't realize it. If we wind up with a New England-New Orleans Super Bowl, you will have, got to think it's the oldest starting quarterback's collective age, 81, it's Brady against Breeze. I saw them play against each other when they were in college 20 years ago, and I'd completely forgotten about that. Yeah.
Michigan and Purdue.
Michigan and Purdue at the Big House in 99. Brady was a senior for the Wolves, and he had a much more productive junior year. He shared the job his senior year in part with Drew Henson, the baseball player, and I think played for the Cowboys as well, I believe.
Yeah, he did.
Breeze was Purdue got blown out of the building. Just absolutely eviscerated. Breeze was a junior. So the game was disappointing. I went with a Purdue Club of Chicago. I used to do trips with those guys, and it was a lot of fun. But, yeah, Breeze versus Brady in the Big House. And I remember there's a long commercial break, as there is in college football games every time you go. That frustrates me more about college than pros. Man, those commercial breaks seem forever when you're at a college football game.
How about the college halftime show?
That too.
A college halftime is 25 minutes. In the NFL, it's 12.
Right. And, boy, you got me thinking about something that happened in Notre Dame during band participation at halftime. But I've lost my train of thought.
Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. To see that so many years ago is just, man, that's cool. But, Brady, Brady standing, and, you know, Brady was not an All-American, I don't think. Brady was respected within the conference, but his junior year, his best year, I think he passed for about 2,500 yards. Did not have amazing numbers, but he still looked like Tom Brady. And I remember having the thought as I'm watching him, he's standing there with his hands on his hips during what seemed like a 10-minute commercial timeout, just kind of rocking to the music and BSing with the guys in his huddle. And I said, man, it must be cool to be Tom Brady in front of 110,000 people. You're a good-looking guy who's no one knew what he was going to be in the NFL.
I was going to say, if you only knew, right?
Yeah.
Now he has a house with a moat.
Yeah, he is, right. As nice as that house is that he supposedly owns in TED 2, I bet that's his guest house.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, Giselle's
Giselle
made more
makes
than him.
More than he does.
Yeah, that's a favorite factoid of all sports fans who are jealous of Tom Brady's life.
It's still a great house. It's still a very, very cool house. But it's in a neighborhood where he doesn't have a moat. He doesn't have a moat. He doesn't have a gate around his home. He has neighbors. You could just, you know.
When
Wahlberg comes to fix the air conditioner, you see houses right next to him, and it looks like, you know, in those birch trees. God, those things are a pain in the ass. I love the way they look. I hate the way they shed. Twice a year, man, you spend the entire weekend cleaning up birch tree leaves.
That's a first world problem.
Don't do it when you move to the birch. Don't get a house with a birch. If they got birch trees there, cut them down.
You know, that's one of my top concerns in life right now, is birch tree maintenance.
Yeah, you'll be in the burbs someday. It happens.
I hope not.
Invest in a nice sugar maple. You'll be great.
Okay. Thank you, Dave. That's great.
I hope not.
Yeah, as of now, I hope not. You can have a great life in the city.
Of course you can. All right. I thought maybe ultimately you would return to your roots.
I'm hanging on.
Have Burns. Yes, you are city boy.
Yeah.
Now, you grew up in Berwyn, though, right?
You know.
Not a lot of grass there either.
Well, it is, but it's all getting burned.
Yeah, different type of grass. Yeah, as of now, you know, I mean, everyone says it changes when you have kids, so I reserve the right to change that opinion. But yeah, as of now.
You do hear that a lot.
The restaurants and the proximity to stuff going on. And I like city noise. And I like having a view and just things to do going on.
No right or wrong answer, man. It's just I enjoy the elbow space. I enjoy trees. I like living in the burbs. I never really had much of a desire to live in a, you know, vertical filing cabinet for humans.
I love it. I love it. You just got to get a nice drawer.
That helps.
You know what I mean? There are really nice filing cabinets in the city.
I think, you know, things that when you live in the burbs, you don't even consider, but you see it when you go visit somebody who lives in the city. Simple things I take for granted, like how easy it is to get 7 bags of groceries into my house as opposed to having to drag them into an elevator and stuff. Yeah.
How about the fact that, you know, your neighbors can't hear you? Or...
That's an upside.
That's a big one for the person.
Especially if you got a screamer.
It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Sports Station.
Bottom of the hour, McNeil and Parkins on the Score, brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. It's rivalry weekend for the Wolves as they host Rockford Saturday night in an Illinois Lottery Cup game. They've got Milwaukee Sunday afternoon. And for the 25th anniversary, parking is free, courtesy of Kia. Visit ChicagoWolves.com.
Germane to our conversation, city living versus suburban living versus living in the sticks. Wherever you live, it's a good weekend. Tomorrow in particular, likely to be a good day to hunker down with our forecast. We're expecting many, many inches of snow and high winds. I've got to travel 45 miles tomorrow. I have no choice. I'm en route to St. Charles tomorrow to see some friends. It's a commitment I made a time ago, and I ain't breaking it. I got to go to the Muskie Expo, but it is a damn good weekend to stay out of that stuff. I just hunker down and make a pot of chili. Whatever your fancy is, it is a wonderful weekend to just be home on the couch in sweatpants and wool socks.
Yeah, before I even had gotten out of bed this morning, Steph had already been to the grocery store and back. And I was like, what's going on? She's like, oh, it's supposed to snow this weekend. I'm like, okay.
Did we leave the city?
the grocery store is 3 blocks away. Right. She's like, I just want to be prepared.
Did you lose your Uber Eats app?
Yeah, I'm like, we're going to be perfectly fine. But thank you for being proactive and on top of things. So
I've yet to use that. I need to try that. I don't mind a short drive to a Subway, wherever I'm going for something to eat. But Uber Eats does seem like it's super convenient if you don't feel like leaving the house.
Honestly, there were many, many, many reasons why I wanted to come back to Chicago, obviously. But one of the best perks beyond family, friends, the job, all of that, is the delivery food options in downtown Chicago. There are 4 different apps that you can, you know,
right.
DoorDash, Grubhub, Uber Eats, whatever.
Yep.
Hundreds of restaurants, all different types. And so they're all underbidding each other. I can get high-end sushi delivered to my condo in 45 minutes for a $3 or $4 delivery fee.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah, I can imagine that would be great. And, we have some decent places for carry out and delivery around us, but I cannot get Greek food that lives up to my satisfaction, that meets my level of meets my standard in Northwest Indiana. And maybe somebody can help me out with this, but the stuffed pepper on Cayman Avenue is about as close as I've come to it. And you got to go to Greektown, man. You really do.
It's just so awesome. Like, and so I'm on my way home, and you have your favorites saved in your Grubhub app or whatever. And then you just text your wife, Mexican food? Yep. Same order? Yep. And you just hit express reorder. And by the time I get home, 5-10 minutes later, there's a guy knocking on the door with the enchiladas.
I got a problem, though, with the idea of using it for Burger King. Like, I can't go the 5 minutes that I could see the Burger King from the house.
I'm not
calling a guy.
Agreed. Yeah. Agreed. You restaurant quality food is what you want to use the app for.
But I know that they will go and get the Golden Arches for you.
Oh, absolutely. But that was the thing. People were getting offended by Trump and the fast food and the White House for Clemson. I was like, I don't think it's that disrespectful or anything like that. I mean, sure, it'd be nice to have a better meal, but
you gave them choices.
How about
right?
but cold French fries? I mean, it's impossible for McDonald's French fries to be good within more than 90 seconds of being out of McDonald's.
I like them fast also. Yes, they don't. I totally agree. And microwaving them is, you might as well just throw them in the garbage. They need to go in a toaster oven or in a conventional oven. They don't reheat very well in a microwave.
Texters are insulting me by saying, tip your delivery driver, Parkins. Listen. That's just the delivery fee on
the
app.
He does.
Obviously,
yeah,
I add him. Tip.
He says if you're ever celebrity bartending, dip that straw in liquor so they'll think you made him a bigger pour.
Yeah, give me
that's
big.
That's your tip.
Give
yeah,
me big.
Salt in your napkins.
These are big tips. Kevin McAllister in Home Alone 2 with a stick of gum. I'm bartending tonight at the Carrie Wood charity event, so come on by. Give a big tip. It's for charity. But no, I worked in the service industry. I think everybody should. I'm a very generous tipper.
Yeah, as Vinny Antonelli, the character played by Steve Martin in My Blue Heaven, said, it's not tipping I believe in, it's over-tipping.
That's right.
I believe in over-tipping.
Yeah. It's nothing to you. It's something to them. It's an amazing thing.
Well, and people who don't get you, I can't. Subway has a store philosophy. I don't know if it's company-wide or if it's the one I go to where they don't even allow the young adults working behind the counter a chance to put a tip cup there.
I hate restaurants that do
why
that.
Why would you, and to me, those people who make a sandwich for you deserve a buck or $2 more than someone who hands you a cup of coffee that they wrote your name on.
I agree.
It's all
the service industry.
Starbucks started it, didn't they? I don't remember ever seeing in fast food a designated tip jar until Starbucks started doing it.
You can't tip a barista at Starbucks? I mean, I don't drink coffee, so I
you can. That's my point, is that Starbucks welcomes tips. They encourage you to tip.
Oh, I misunderstood. I apologize.
And Subway says, no, we do not. At least the one I go to, the guy told me they don't let it. So I give, here's $5 for the last four people who didn't tip you. Because I usually kick a buck. Guy makes me a sandwich and has a smile on his face and is friendly. I'm kicking a couple of beanies, make his day. Especially when his boss doesn't give him up. I almost said an F word there. He doesn't let him put the jar out there. Let the guy make. He should be content with his $8.50 an hour. What's minimum wage these days? Eight something, nine something. I don't. Come on, man. Let the guy earn a tip.
Yeah, I think it's just a shade under 10 an hour.
Okay.
Right. Now, somewhere in the but it's not great.
Yeah, it was $2.65 when I started working for minimum wage when I was 16. What do you do with this
dinosaur?
You work 40 hours a week. You work 40 hours a week at $2.65 an hour? Come on. What's left? What are you going to do with that? Go to a movie? Have a sandwich?
Certainly not tip.
Doesn't last. No. That doesn't last real long.
No, it doesn't. I don't know when we're going to get Cubs guests, so I wanted to be sure we played.
Probably in Mesa.
No. It's going to happen. But
you know what this reminds me of? Remind me of Matt Fishman, who produced me for a handful of years.
Oh, God.
We went to Weir and Bears camp in La Crosse, Wisconsin, when they're training with the Saints. Ditka coached the Saints. North had to take us to La Crosse because the coach was training with the Bears. So both teams are, and Terry and I said, we gave him a dozen names of Bears we wanted. And he's in a golf cart because the facility is kind of big and there's players spread out all over the place. And I remember watching him go back and forth and back and forth for 4 hours. And he didn't land one fish, man. He didn't find one guest. But it became funny because he was like the arcade, the ducks going by, every so often. Hey, there goes fish. We'll see him again in about 10 minutes with that
dopey
blank expression with that panic look on his face, yeah.
Oh, man. apparently the players are not even upstairs yet, so we certainly have a while.
Let me go our Boston guy. I really don't care. We'll press on without it.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Chef. Hey, Tanny.
A handful of nothing.
Yes. How we doing?
Okay, how we doing? I would like, can you play what Marcus Peters audio you have? I don't know if you have the original stuff from the first meeting.
I do. I do. Okay. Yeah.
Because that is some of my favorite audio ever from this football season. This is Rams cornerback and notorious trash talker Marcus Peters after the Saints gave the Rams their first loss of the season, 45-35. Apparently, Sean Payton was engaging in trash talk with Marcus Peters. And personally, I wish all athlete media interactions went this way.
Tell Sean Payton, keep talking that shit. We're going to see him soon. You feel me?
Fair enough.
Yeah, because I like what he was saying on the sidelines, too. So tell him, keep talking that shit, and I hope he see me soon. You feel me? And then we're going to have a good little, nice little bowl of gumbo together.
Sounds good.
Thank you. Okay, sounds good.
Yeah, you don't walk away from Marcus Peters wondering what's on his mind, do you?
No, and he is unapologetically himself and Oakland. He just reps his city and his people, and he tells you the truth, and he doesn't back down from anyone. Even when he gets roasted like he did multiple times this year. He had a horrible season by his standards. This was a guy who led the league in interceptions.
And this is the first time at least my eyes have been on him more regularly. Tell me if, because you saw him play at a better level.
Oh, yeah.
My impression of Marcus Peters is his reputation exceeds his level of skill.
I believe Marcus Peters had the most interceptions through the first three seasons of an NFL career of any player ever.
All right.
So he is.
Okay.
He is a. But now he's been.
He's been a disaster this year.
A disaster this year, and he's a gambler. And so it's absolutely possible that the book is out on him. Like I think that's important. But he's got wide receiver hands. You know, he is a guy who just happened to play defense, and that's where he ended up in college. And he. He got it. There was a coaching staff change at Washington, and he got into a fight and all of that. But he never, like, not a fight off the field, like a fight on the field as a football player, and got into a verbal argument with his coach. And so he was labeled as a bad dude. But he is super passionate, super charitable, does a lot of things for underprivileged kids in Oakland.
Cool. And there's a ton of them, too. And Kenny Williams grew up a long time ago in Oakland, but I don't know how much it's changed. He considers himself very fortunate to have made it out alive.
Yes, and that is a similar tale that Marcus Peters will tell. And him and Marshawn Lynch are very close, and they collaborate and do a lot of great things for the underprivileged community in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then he circles back around, and obviously everyone wants to talk to him ahead of this game. And, his tone did not change very much.
I feel bad for that city losing its football team. That's what else? You don't have a whole lot else in Oakland.
Well, and they're about to lose the Warriors. the Warriors are moving into the new stadium in San Francisco.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, it's tough. And Tanny, do you have what Peter's? I think we.
I do. He was asked about the gumbo comments and his subpar year by his standards, and he got a little testy.
Y'all do what y'all gonna do with it. That's cool. I mean, yeah. Like I say, man, I got the utmost respect for the Saints and their head coach and the organization. You know, but things like that, man, I'm gonna be ready to play just as much as they're gonna be ready to play. We trying to play a game. We ain't trying to talk about no gumbo. We talking about all that stuff afterwards. He's pushing, and it's not going to get no further. I am having fun. We talk about it right now. We laughing about it, man. I don't think that is something that we need to be pushing towards that's over the top of the NFC championship. Let's push that we got the number one team in the NFC versus number two team in the NFC, and we trying to see what we trying to send to the Super Bowl. Me, personally, I didn't have an excellent game that game. So you look forward to those rematches and stuff like that, but I didn't know it was going to turn out to be this. Y'all didn't know it to turn out to be this. You feel me? It just so happened. Like I say, y'all have fun spinning the gumbo thing all week, too. So I see y'all trying to make it to be something that it's not, man. Just up all respect to Sean Payton and what he does. Like I say, before during the game, you know, things was happening. But I just love the fact that he's a competitor. You know, when I was coming out in drafts and stuff, it was the same way, fiery energy when I was meeting with him and things like that. So it wasn't nothing to be disrespectful or anything like that. I was pissed off. I didn't have the game that I wanted to have. Coming into this week, you know, you got to be excited about these rematches and things like that. But we're going to give them all the respect that we can because they're not the number one seed in the NFC for a reason. No, like I said, man, it's just competitive edge, man.
How would you evaluate your season?
I think we ain't done yet. I think we ain't done yet. So what you getting at?
No, I'm wondering, do you think, according to the stats, you've had a season below your normal standards?
Oh, yeah, that's cool. I mean, coming to this game, I come from a place where you're going to have your ups and downs. As long as your ass don't stay on the ground, you pick yourself up and you look yourself in the mirror and you keep striding and you keep building to become the best player that you can be and become the best person that you can be. I think all the rest will take care of itself. My resume speaks for itself. Everybody have bad days. I mean, you come to work and you wake up some days, you don't feel like going to work, right? It's a bad day. See, it's a bad day. You just asked a bad question.
Even,
so next.
Even more so today, yeah.
Next.
I love that guy.
Unnecessary. It's not a bad question. It's the question that's the number one question he should be asked. We have not had your type of season that you're known for. What's up? And he says he gets defensive about it.
Of course. But it's genuine. That's all I'm saying. It is just... He is unapologetically himself, and even though you're right, that's not a tough, that's not a bad question by any means. But he doesn't give a damn.
The right question.
I agree.
Yeah.
Someone said, "You really hope that a guy like Peters gets a win over a thug like Sean Payton," implying that Peters is a thug. I'm telling you, he's not. He's never been arrested. Never had any sorts of problems. Super charitable guy. He is just. He's true to himself in his hometown, mm-hmm. and he is absolutely himself.
You feel me? Fair enough. Yeah.
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 Yeah. So, yeah, I am. I like guys like that. I like guys that
I know you do.
Play with a lot of swagger.
You're chirpy.
Oh, yeah. And so, you know, we'll see. I hope he takes one to the house off Drew Brees and then goes over to Sean Payton and asks him for some gumbo. That would be amazing.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's time for your chance to win $1,000 in cash on the score. This hour's keyword is Mark. Text Mark, M-A-R-K, to 72881 by the end of the hour. Again, the keyword is Mark to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Please do not text and drive. Message and data rates may apply.
Oh, and hi, I do believe we still have a pair of Who tickets to give away a little bit later on today.
Yeah, tickets later on, let me know.
Wani, we show you who's next. You got Who by numbers, so many fine albums, you know. The Who are playing at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater on May 21st, so... Stick around. We will give those away in just a little while. Backing up to a couple conversations we've had here regarding minimum wage at $2.65 when I first started earning it in 1977. Yes, there's the obvious cost of living difference between today and, you know, 42 years ago. And I think the most significant for 16-year-old Dimonel, a guy points out, what were you paying for weed in 77, 78?
That's a pertinent question I would have asked if I hadn't asked you that like 4 months ago.
Yeah, the answer is $35 for an ounce. $35. It was not the quality of today's product, but...
A lot of seeds, a lot of stems.
Oh, so many seeds, stems. Rare was the occasion when you would find the fine red hairs as you open the bag and that wafting scent of Jamaican flour as Tony Womack digs in.
Pot hues at the dish. Is it indica or sativa,
yeah,
Ron?
Yeah, so, and I had a habit from restaurant hopping. I know it'll shock everybody to learn that even as a teenager, I job hopped. Worked 6-8 weeks at one restaurant. Oh, my BS act was a... I had it down, too. I'd look in the eyes of that restaurant manager, and I shook his hand firmly and told him how I grew up, with a burning desire to wash his dishes. I've been a fan of Johnson's Blue Top since I could eat, all those sort of things, and they just kept hiring me, and it's just like, you get 3-4 paychecks, I buy some herb, I buy hockey tickets, I buy albums, rock and roll t-shirts, and I'm on to the next gig 4 weeks after I quit, until the money's gone.
But why not just once you got one job, stay at that job? Why hop from restaurant if they're all bad minimum wage jobs?
Football season and baseball season interrupt jobs. I'm not going to work while I'm, sports in season.
Okay, and so then you'd get fired.
I knew full well on one job I knew I was taking for 3 weeks. This was going to be a 3-week tour. I knew it when I worked at the Brass Mug as a dishwasher in the summer of 77. And the Sox were in Seattle, and I was listening on the radio to Lord Brown as he described the games. And I knew it was 3 weeks because football camp was starting. And he knew I was a football player, and he says, aren't you playing? I can't afford it. My dad needs the help. What a BS artist. My dad needs the help.
Can't feel guilty about that.
Hell no. I decided I'm going to play. Roy's doing fine banging it out on the north end.
Man, I one job, Boston Blackies. I mean, I had other jobs, a caddy, and I worked at a teacher's aide at the Sunday school, and did other little odd jobs like that. Obviously, I've told you about the Desperate House Guys, but 5 years, man, Boston Blackies. I should have got stock options in that place. And by the way,
that is an incredibly long time to take a job that means nothing to you.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I'd go off to college or something like that, and come back and still have the job and work summers around the internships and
well, if you liked
tables.
The job, that's the right way to do it.
It was close. They comped me an employee meal. College girls were waitresses, so when I was in high school, that was kind of cool.
All the stars were aligned.
Not that I had any shot, but they would talk to me. You know what I mean? So you'd practice a little game that was failing, and
I had a
it was
similar
great.
Job at a bulk food store in LaGrange Park. It was the same thing. All college girls. Yeah. I was the high school guy. Yeah. Oh, I'll sweep the mess up. How you doing?
Yeah, exactly. It was fine. And then
you say they would talk to you. Amplify on that.
Well, there's three waitresses. I'm doing to-go or delivery, and so the employees are all in the same area. So you'd hang out and talk with the wait staff. Like, I had to get in at 5.
Did you have a problem talking with girls as a teenager?
In high school? Yeah. Five back surgeries between sophomore and junior year and missing school and just, like, not feeling – not that I've ever been strong.
Yeah, yours and my faces don't lend themselves to a lot of confidence at the teenage level.
I didn't realize
– I had acne horrible, too.
I had glasses before LASIK. I didn't
– Self-respecting cheerleader wakes up and says, I got to have me some of that.
None ever. And I went to such a big school, too, so like the very attractive girl, it was like totally in different social circles.
Yeah, not going to happen.
Not interacting on any level. you guys hear about my radio show? It airs one day a week on WNTH. You can listen to it on your ride in.
In Breakfast Club, you were Brian. You were Brian Johnson, Anthony Michael Hall's character.
I was. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't realize that a key was just... being able to talk. I was like, I was just too scared to talk. But just being willing to talk, be a little funny, a little self-deprecating, and all of a sudden college was an amazing thing. Introduce alcohol, and it was great.
Going back to art, imitating life, I do this. In 40-year-old virgin is Is Cal really, Seth Rogen's character, is he really all that off base when he gives Andy advice on how to talk to women?
Ask questions.
They don't want to hear about you.
David Caruso and Jade.
Yes. B, kind of cool, but kind of a D. Yeah, David Caruso and Jade. Oh, I know that. You do. That's good.
Yeah, that's, I mean.
But no one was around. Seth wasn't around to give us that advice. I was petrified by women.
Me
unless
too.
It was journalism class and it was all about putting the paper out.
Yeah, and, you know, my dad told me not to be, but I was just, I don't know, didn't have the confidence in high school. But I said, you lose those inhibitions when you start boozing heavily in college. It was amazing.
Yeah, and what we don't know at the teenage level is that the generosity of women exceeds that of the male gender.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's insecurities and that they have them, too. It's like, oh, my God, you're so beautiful. How could you possibly have them? But everybody does, right? Mm-hmm. It's the human condition that you love talking about so much. Yeah.
Well, you know what? All we're missing is a golf cart. We can put Shep right in front of us, and he can drive back and forth without a Cubs player.
Should we cast the score as the Breakfast Club and just go through it?
Yeah. I'm a tough putt. I'm a hybrid. I'm half Andrew, half Bender.
Yeah.
Freak on the
sports.
Yeah, my high school journalism teacher, with whom I'm still very close, she's 81 years old, lives out in Sedona, Arizona. She called me a freak on the side. You're a freak on the side, aren't you? Yep. I am on the weekends. I take the Letterman's jacket off, put the Aerosmith T-shirt on, and blaze up.
Players are starting to arrive at Cubs Convention. We'll talk to some in the next hour.
Sure, we will.
Neil and Parkinson. We're going to on the score.
We're very high.
This is the highest you can be without wings.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.